Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership. We unlock the power of organizations and teams to overcome tough challenges, seize new opportunities, and turn bold ideas into real-world results through strategic planning, retreats, and team workshops. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD. Most of our episodes focus on business leaders who are trying to build companies that create real impact. But today, we're exploring a different question. Who supports those leaders? Who helps them think more clearly, lead more consciously, and turn purpose into action? Today's conversation is about what I want to call conscious consultants, people who come alongside leaders to help them grow professionally and personally. I'm excited to welcome two of my colleagues and friends, Michelle Moniger and Brian Ford.
What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Jeff.
So glad to have you guys here. My friends are here today.
Thanks.
Good times. Michelle helps organizations from startups to Fortune 500 companies connect their marketing strategy to the heart of their purpose. Brian focuses on helping leaders turn intention into action through coaching, leadership development, and movement building. He's also the co-founder of the For Purpose Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to making it easier to make a difference. It is so amazing to have you guys here, my colleagues from Conscious Capitalism.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So just to give a little context, maybe we can take a moment to share what you do. What's your day job look like? Maybe we start with you, Brian.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a behavior change coach. I've got a podcast called Self-Improvement Daily, which is kind of my accidental way of finding my way into the coaching industry. And ultimately what I do is help people to implement the systems, routines, and habits that help them to perform at their best. And in particular, I like working with purpose-driven leaders, people who not only are trying to be the best version of themselves, but trying to change the world with them being the best version of themselves. So that's the grateful space that I get to take up. And yeah, I have the kind of extra foundation and social impact arm with a nonprofit. And ultimately they're meant to work together. You can't fully express your purpose if you're not changing your life and changing the world. So those are the two different ways I try and facilitate that.
The 1-2 punch.
Yeah, there you go.
Michelle.
So I really would explain the way I do things is movement marketing and movement architecture. So Brian tends to work in general with a one-on-one. I tend to work with organization and the brand as a whole. And really, instead of selling a product, it's more like what change do you want to see in the world? And how do you architect that? So what I do is start with companies at their purpose and at the roots. And I have a rooted brand process, starting at the roots, their purpose, the positioning, and then building that into storytelling, stakeholder relationships, and then the marketing and the tactics that build community and create a bigger social impact.
I love that. So what led to this sort of more purposeful approach? Is it something, do you have a defining moment in your career? I know myself, I was always trying to find meaning in work. And I realized so many people didn't have meaning in work. So that became sort of my underlying purpose is to help other people find meaning in work. What led to you leading down this path of a more conscious approach?
You know, what I've seen over my career, 30 years of building brands from Fortune 500s to startups, and I started noticing a pattern. The companies that did really well were more rooted in their purpose. They brought people together. They had a bigger vision and a mission that everybody rallied around, and then people root for them. And so over time, I thought, looked at the companies who were not succeeding. And I'm like, well, what's missing? And that was a key to it, was not only the purpose, but that movement that they were creating that people can rally behind. And so that was one piece of it, but also for my own self. You know, I'm very heart-centered. I want to bring people together. My why is really about improving our human connection. So taking those two together made sense to, you know, focus on conscious capitalism and more conscious-driven companies.
Love it.
Yeah. And my version of that is I was kind of just baked in the environment of social impact. I was raised in a very generous household where philanthropy was just kind of woven into my DNA. And I didn't know any different, honestly. So I just kind of matured and became through the lens of being social impact driven. And I was really reinforced with that when I went to college. I decided to start a community service resource called Volunteer Davis. I went to UC Davis and I basically replaced the Community Service Resource Center with a pop-up website that was just kind of doing it better than they were doing it. And then I started becoming known as, oh, you're the guy that like knows the social impact initiatives. We want to volunteer. And it just kind of became an identity a little stronger at that point. And that's where ultimately it's translated into what I do professionally, because, you know, there's nothing more fulfilling than being able to know that the efforts you're putting out into the world are making a difference. And for myself, I've tasted a bunch of different things, you know, as part of a startup acquisition, we made a lot of money and there's goodness to that, but it doesn't have the same level of weight to it in terms of what it means for me and what I'm trying to create in the world and how I want to experience life. So that's what always kind of pulls me back into social impact is just, you know, it's an itch you can't scratch without it. And I just really enjoy being a part of that line of work.
You know, for me, it was a little bit self-serving, I guess. So my thing is sort of projects. That's what I really did most of my career is leading small teams up big hills. And I realized that, and I really love the idea when a team comes together, that's kind of the most inspiring thing that I see. And it kind of reminds me when I was a kid playing sports. And I thought that could happen in work. And it does when you actually bring a team together. But you have to have a reason to show up. So it always became, what's the higher purpose? What's the bigger story to invite people into to they'll show up and want to play on my team versus doing anything else in the business? And then I started to realize the more I could enroll you and your kind of personal desires or your purpose into the program, that became this win-win. And then we see people sort of rise up and then being getting an opportunity to do things bigger and better. You just, it's like magical. It's nothing like watching someone that's actually getting to do something really cool and go, I didn't know I could do that. So if you can create that environment at work, I mean, it's just a wonderful sort of thing. So what's the challenge of bringing this into organizations? What do you see? What's the big pushback that you get?
Yeah, Michelle, you're the organizational expert.
I think it's ego is one part of it. You know, people believe that they're right the way they see things. They're not really thinking about the people around them. That is one challenge. I think they feel overwhelmed by it sometimes where, how am I going to make this change? You know, I have this idea, but how do I motivate people? How do I get them around me? I feel sometimes a story. They don't really know their story and what matters. And they kind of bury that. And you have to really dig in part of the roots, right? Really, what's that origin and what really matters? And a lot of it comes down to the shared beliefs and what they care about. And when you can pull that out, it almost naturally starts connecting with people. Almost like we're doing right now. We have this shared belief amongst us and even in the conscious community that we want something greater and bigger. So that's one piece. And then again, just really helping them dig a little deeper and see where, even where their beliefs are being blocked. And this cut segues to Brian and how he sees the block in these movements.
Totally. Yeah. No, expanding on that, you know, I'm a behaviorist in nature. So I think through like, what are the actionable things that people are doing? And the most influential piece to behavior is environment. Now we got to define what environment is in an organization, right? So you talk about culture, you talk about systems, and those are the ways that kind of create the path of least resistance. And, you know, people unconsciously will flow in the direction of the path of least resistance. So as leaders, the more that we can put in front of our team members, this is what we do and why we do it. These are the standards that we have. These are the ways that we communicate with each other. These are the ways we're connected to society. Now what you're doing is starting to cultivate that culture, but it doesn't happen on accident. It's got to be intentional design, right? So that's where, as leaders and especially conscious capitalists, we need to be the, you know, front running kind of example to model that so that other people can follow suit and know what those standards and expectations are.
I want to tap into something you said, Michelle, in regards to telling your story and trying to help people unpack that. So just the other day, I did a workshop here at the BBB. And we're doing an exercise around why did you start your business? And so people did the exercise and everybody had some reason, whatever. And then I had people share back. And so this woman shared her story. But then I asked a couple more questions. And all of a sudden she shared something. And I got this like tingle, right? So all of a sudden she actually hit it. I go, do y'all feel that? I go, that's what we're talking about. When you can unpack that and everyone starts to feel that. Because we were talking about, how do you bring this in the marketplace? How do you impact your stakeholders? How do you drive the business, grow the business? I go, you start telling that story, all of a sudden some things will start to happen.
Absolutely.
But you have to help people actually unpack it. It's like, right. It's not just naturally there sometimes.
Exactly. That goes back to the roots, right? And digging in. Yep. You know, a lot of people, just on that note, focus very surface level. Yes. You look at business, everything's very surface. And when you can get to the roots and deeper in your heart and what means something to you and the organization, the people around you, I always say my why needs to meet your why in that connection. It just brings that magic out, like you said, Jeff, and it creates that magnetism that people want to be part of.
Yeah, I'd say that's part of like the secret sauce that is conscious capitalism. You know, we are, as humans, again, behaviorists coming out here, we're designed for immediate gratification. So we step into the decisions, choices, actions, whatever, that immediately serves us naturally. And what you're suggesting, what conscious capitalism really is about, is the long term and the long game. And so when we can understand there's a bigger purpose, now people are going to be more invested and sustained, and it creates the disproportionate compounding outcome that we're chasing after in business. And instead of sacrificing that for short-term needs or demands, you know, answering to, of course, you know, stakeholders are important and investor return is important, but instead of knee-jerking to just appease whatever that looks like, now we get to play a little bit longer of a game, build a stronger foundation that can endure and sustain some of the, you know, climate changes and difficulties that businesses are going through that ultimately put them out of business.
I think that is one of the hard things to deal with, is it is long-term. It's not short-term. It's not, has, doesn't always have that direct ROI. Oh, if I treat my employees well, is that really going to give me a return? How do I know that? Right. So you almost have to kind of have some underlying belief about things to actually make this all work. If you just always want that instantaneous return on things, this can be difficult.
Absolutely. But I think you can have short-term wins as well. And that's what you have to really point out, is every little step, every little movement makes a bigger ripple, you know, and a bigger impact. It's like the ocean, you know, every wave doesn't look like, but then you look at this ocean and the power that it has. And that's what they have to remember, the ripple and how that can continually affect people.
I'd also like that idea of remember, because sometimes I think people start and they have that passion. They know why they started the business, and actually success, actually you can lose it. You get so busy running the business and all the day to day, all of a sudden, or the business grows, you start to lose that founder's touch in the whole business. You can lose your why as well, or your higher purpose.
Totally. Yeah. And that is the disconnection from the origin to now, well, what are these short-term needs and how do I react to everything that's coming up? That's a really good point.
Success stories. Share something where we implemented and yes, it worked. And this is what it looks like when it works out there. Got anything for us?
Absolutely. Throughout my career, again, I've seen the companies in the organizations that have done it well, and I've been part of that architecture of it. And then I've seen the ones who haven't. So the ones who have, for example, I'll give San Diego's region. Back in the early 90s, we were struggling to have attention here, bring investors. Somebody said, we need more engineers here. I said, no, we have to brand San Diego's a region and we need to rally together. And within weeks, we had the mayor and the EDC and all the top organizations. You know, we rallied together for the greater purpose. It took a couple of years to set the brand. And we end up naming it Tech's Perfect Climate. The beauty was we had all kinds of business and organizations and Qualcomm and everybody behind this. And I haven't seen that in a long time. But the impact at the end of the day was it did drive more companies. The biotech industry grew tremendously. And my quintessential moment was when the mayor was on TV during the World Series. And she said, we're Tech's Perfect Climate. I'm like, did my job.
Good work.
And I have many more. One is a startup company that LifeProof, who was here local, that we took from zero to a $300 million acquisition in 3 years. And it was an iPhone case or a waterproof case. And it wasn't about the case. It was really about the movement we created and the story and the impact about living your life anywhere. And showing that we did it with challenge athletes and, you know, supporting the athletes there to live their life anywhere, to firemen who were saving lives and had a phone now that they can make a call. And we showed that, but it was also authentic and it was a lot of storytelling. It was a lot of community building and engagement, but that was authentic. We didn't spend a lot on marketing. It was really that relationship development that made a huge impact and it created a movement in just a couple of years.
Love it.
Yeah. There are two things that come to mind is significant partnerships that I've been a part of that kind of embody what we're talking about here, which is elevating people and humanity. And the first one is actually a collaboration with a nonprofit here locally, Big Brothers Big Sisters San Diego. One of the kind of frameworks I run people through is a 21-day challenge to install, you know, better foundational systems related to your health, your productivity, and your mindset. And what's really interesting about introducing this into that environment of nonprofit team was, first, it created this space for conversation around things outside of work, and they were all doing the challenge together. So there was now this extra dimension within relationships that was kind of being brought into the organization. Then second, the obvious one is, you know, there's new habits that these people are building, you know, the team members are building, they're being more productive, they're creating schedules, they're determining what's the most important thing for them to do during a day. And now you start to feel the momentum that's picking up. And there is a kind of like this energy of people feeding off of each other and how, and their consistency that was really interesting to observe. So at the end of the day, do those, you know, the members of Big Brothers Big Sisters San Diego still use my system? No, but there are these kind of this felt and remaining aspect of their performance and their own perspective around their performance that I think has changed. And that's kind of part of it is, you know, these shifts can just be 1 degree at one point, and then you take it, you know, years down the road and you end up somewhere entirely different. So that's part one. Part two is more of like a social impact collaboration. I, through the For Purpose Foundation, run a campaign called Burpees for Vets. Around Veterans Day, we activate fitness franchises.
You're my hero, by the way.
Yeah, it's Burpees. Quite the lift. Yeah, it's quite the lift.
How many did you do the other day?
I did 1,500 burpees a day for Veterans Day last year. Yeah, so that, I mean, that's
we a got a stud story. In the room here.
That's a different story. But
I could do, if I maybe do 15, I don't know.
We need to get that on video. I want to see that.
Oh, I've got, yeah, I can share it with you. Yeah. So one of our primary partners for this campaign is Paycom. And they basically created this aligned win-win across the company kind of collaboration, which is, let's get our employees into the gym, exercising, using the facilities. For every burpee that they do in the gym for the week leading up to Veterans Day, corporate is going to donate a dollar on their behalf. And man, let me tell you, the marketing team, they're banging pots and pans. Everyone is hyped about this 1 week where it's like all hands on deck, do as many burpees as you can. And it's this huge win for the company because they've got this great PR story of how their team came together to be able to get this done. They have the philanthropy budget that they're already looking for a good allocation for. They've got the PR hit that's coming through. The fitness center is getting great utilization. They're getting all the assets they need. People are becoming familiar with, you know, everything that's happening. And then it like creates so much excitement and buzz. And, you know, the leader of Paycom Fitness, his name's Kyle, he says, oh, this is the best week of the year, every single year, right? And it's because it does this thing that businesses can do a better job of, which is, how do we share in something bigger than ourselves? Of course, there's company mission, but there's also society outside of company mission. And the more that we can kind of create those bridges and build those interactions, engagements, the more meaning people feel when they show up to work, and then they stay longer, they do better, and it's best for everybody involved.
Yeah.
You know, on that point, Brian, I really appreciate you bringing that up, because that was an example of people rooting for each other. You know, it goes back to that rooted model. But what's really key in all this is the emotional pull. You know, we really think emotionally than logically. So when we have that emotional connection, that changes our behavior. So people were more engaged and excited, and the pots banging, you know, I could just see that moment that people are like, I want to be part of that. Like, you feel the energy, and it's so exciting to bring that into the room or have people experience. And that's, I think, a key to that movements that we're talking about.
Totally. Yeah. And that works because leaders are telling people, hey, we're really excited about this. Hey, this is why it matters. And if it was just going to be this activation that just kind of pops up and, hey, enroll if you want to, people are like, no, I'm too busy for this. But because there was that different energy and dynamic, that's what kind of created the adoption. Talking about the environment, right? There's this rich, energized environment that people are stepping into. It then leads to a different result.
So to me, it's sort of like the team piece where you talk about the forming of the team. Everybody comes together. It's kumbaya. We're going to go do something. Then we storm, right? Everybody's arguing about this, that, and the other. Then you're supposed to move into performing. And then something changes, you go back to storming. So most companies, I think most teams kind of flip-flop back and forth between performing and storming. Mm. But ideally, you get to high-performing. And what makes the difference of high-performing is it becomes personal, right? It goes beyond just what I'm doing and my what I want becomes like, it's the team. What can I do for you to get things done? And I was talking to a friend here the other day, when we were talking about teams, and we were talking about the high-performing teams. We said, yeah, those big people become friends for life. I mean, I've been fortunate to lead maybe 4 or 5 what I would call high-performing teams my whole career. I always want to have a high-performing team, but rarely it happens. But when it does, you can pick up the phone tomorrow and go, hey, how you doing, Brian? You know, it's like, remember that? Yeah, it just makes that connection. And that's what they're doing in that business. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a game changer. I mean, it just changes everything.
Absolutely.
I'd like to do a little deep dive on conscious capitalism, which is kind of the granddaddy, I think, of this whole philosophy of the purposeful companies and the stakeholder model and all that. So maybe we can talk about the four tenets, the three of us, just kind of explore that a little bit. So when you guys think about higher purpose, what does that mean to you? Maybe even like, what's your higher purpose? And, you know, how do you see that working with other companies when you're working with them?
Well, I think it goes back to what I mentioned earlier about digging into those roots to really find what motivates you and what matters to you deeply. Because again, if you say surface, like, well, I want a clean air or fresh water, like, well, that's nice. But what is it inside? Like, what's your why? Is like Simon Sinek asks, you know, and it usually takes some storytelling, and I don't want to say soul searching. You don't have to go across the world into South America or wherever to find that. But you start looking at patterns in your life of a moment that really mattered to you. And you take 3 or 4 of those and you start finding a thread of, oh, this really mattered and that really mattered. Now I'm starting to see where my values are and what I really care about. And it starts forming this identity that you become and want to stand for. And so I think that's where a higher purpose starts. Because if you manufacture it, it's not real.
Right, right.
It's not authentic.
It's got to be emotional.
Exactly.
And actually, this is the leader's role, right? I mean, you can't have the marketing department go off and say, what's our higher purpose? That never works.
Right.
You got to have this sort of emotional thing, that leader that everybody wants to rally behind that idea and say, yeah, I want to be part of that. And then I get to bring my purpose into that. Then you got that win-win.
Absolutely.
I love that. Yeah, I haven't had that relationship with it, but I love the way that you articulated that. That was really good. Yeah, when I think about it, well, you got to think of the four tenets and then also kind of the other kind of standard framework within conscious capitalism is the SPICE model, right? The multi-stakeholder model. So SPICE stands for society, partners, investors, customers, and employees. When you make decisions, it's with all of those stakeholders in mind, not just investor return, right? And that's what makes this different, with the caveat that that's also best for investor return, right? It's conscious capitalism, it's conscious and it's capitalism.
And it's proven.
Right? So exactly.
Those companies always typically have a better ROI.
Yeah. So with that in mind, when I think of higher purpose, I think that directly ties into the S of the SPICE model, which is society, right? So how does this organization interact with society in such a way that now the society is better off, right? So whatever that looks like, and some people put a lot of pressure on, oh, it's got to be offsetting this major cause area, or it can be something more subtle in the way that it's impacting people, but just being connected to what are the ways that the realities of society are actually shifting, giving our activity. That's kind of what the higher purpose to me connects to.
Yeah, Michelle.
Yeah. So on that note, I have some friends of mine on a passion project. We're creating a movement called Vibes Matter. And it really is not a big thing other than reminding people to check in with their vibes, you know, social media, some merchandise. We're at the very beginning of it, but it's not this grand. We have to architect all this crazy activities and stuff. It's just starting with our higher purpose of what really matters. You know, we've all gone through some challenges in our life, the team and I, and we're like, we just want to shift one vibe at a time. That's it. And if we could just put a message out, wear a shirt, something that reminds people, like, how's your vibes? Check in with yourselves. How are you taking care of yourselves? How am I putting my energy out? That's a simple way of living your higher purpose without having to have this grand plan and save the world. But it takes sometimes, like we were talking about, Brian, just little behavioral steps, small steps that can make a huge shift in the world.
Yeah, and that certainly shifts society, right? So I love that. Again, like being really direct around this is how things are actually moving and shaking. It can be just person to person. That counts too. Yeah.
Yes, beautiful. Absolutely.
So I want to share a little experiment I'm in the middle of, so I don't know how this is going to work out. So one of my clients, I worked with the CEO, and we discovered his two-word purpose, which is part of the jailbreak leadership methodology, which was challenging limitations. He's this guy, you know, he's a past professional athlete. It's like always charging the hill. Don't tell me I can't do something kind of guy. And he wants to drive that into the organization. So our mission statement is, challenging limitations by empowering human potential. So the whole idea, let's grow the business. Let's push everybody to the limit. Let's raise up everybody to be the best they can be, right? Sounds great. But how do you get people to own this? So later this month, we're having our big annual, not the annual, but the biannual get together up at headquarters with the senior staff. And so I'm going to do this little exercise. First, I'm going to ask them, what does that actually mean to you? Right. So have them think about what that really means to them personally. And then I'm going to have a little question to them saying, what limitation you have as a manager that you'd like to get rid of in the next 3 months, right, that will really move this organization forward? So take those words and actually put them into some action. And then come up with the actionable plan that we're going to review at each of our, we have a monthly meeting. We have to show up and say, how am I doing against my plan? So trying to bring that to life too, right? So sometimes you have it, but you also have to drive it into the organization in some fashion. So stay tuned. We'll see how that goes. But I love the mission, but we got to get everybody buying into it.
Absolutely. It's like you said, step by step. I think there'd be, you know, little action steps, but also digging deeper, like you're mentioning, Jeff, to really, what does that mean to them?
Yes.
What's the beliefs? Where are they being blocked by those beliefs?
And it's all collective now. Everybody's got to sign up. Everybody's got to report in, right? So, and I'm also looking for the accountability. What do you need from each of us to help you be successful with this? The whole theme of this meeting is about accountability. Alignment and accountability is what our theme is for the meeting. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, intrigued.
So putting it into action.
Can't wait to hear.
Conscious leadership. What does that look like? We'll start with Brian.
Yeah.
Doing what you say, do what you do. Say what you do, do what you say.
No, I mean, on the topic of accountability, I think conscious leadership is empathetic. And I'll introduce the way I think about accountability, which shows there's a way to message things a little more empathetically than we've come to understand them. So I define accountability not as doing what you said you're going to do. That's what most people would think. It's like, oh, I'm accountable when I do what I say I'm going to do. I think accountability is I am reporting on if I did or did not do the thing that I said I was going to do. And that comes back into the roots of accountable. Accountable to account for something is just to keep track of it, right? Mm. So you're accountable when you're honestly observing, reflecting on it. So when you take these kind of more triggering, emotional, almost like guilt written words and you show that there's actually love and empathy and layer to it. As a leader, you know, tying it back to conscious leadership, there's an opportunity for us to then create the right environment for our employees to feel like they can make mistakes, they can explore, they can come to you. And yes, they're accountable, but by the right definition, in that they are owning up to their performance. And then it invites a really important moment of reflection, which is, oh, so you didn't do the thing that you're committed to or said you're going to do. Let's understand why. And we can work together to overcome those things. Right. So it's instead of putting some, oh, you didn't meet expectations. And there's this dynamic between it. Conscious leadership is much more collaborative and both people are responsible for the result, which means both people are responsible for working together to overcome any resistance, obstacles, or things that get in the way of the result.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. And I really appreciate the principles of conscious leadership because to me that hits home is the companies that I feel connected with, or it is really bringing connection and collaboration together. I mean, another story here, I worked in New York with a big celebrity PR firm. They weren't the nicest people. I won't use the names, but if you watch Devil Wears Prada, it was a little bit like that. That was not a conscious environment. It was a little cutthroat. And at that point, I'm like, I do not want to work with a company like this. So that was early on in my career. So I've made intentions since then to be not only conscious, but work with more conscious driven people. And to your point, Brian, as well as my family has a business. And so their whole business is around the people. It's around relationships. It's about customer service. I mean, to the nth degree, like you, it was always embedded in me to have that kind of mindset. And for my own personal health issues and challenges in my life, it's always finding the best in people. And that's at my roots. And that's my belief. And if I can find the best in you and uplift you or find a way, like you're saying, like, how do we, you know, understand each other in a deeper way and not you're bad or you did this wrong, or it just kills not only the relationship, but momentum and everything. And that kills the movement, right? Anything you're trying to create.
Yeah. What you mentioned that I think is important to also note is like conscious leadership is one thing. It's also not something else, right? So it's being as aware of what it's not. And you have your examples of that. We all have our examples of that versus what you want to do. And sometimes it's, you know, a gift of subtraction versus addition could be, you know, a way of practice leadership more consciously.
We've always all experienced some bad leadership, I'm sure, in our lives, right? That's how you learn what not to do. I'm on the other side. I don't want to be that guy. For me, when I'm like at a networking thing and I say conscious leadership, I always say it's like servant leadership. This is kind of my quick definition. It's like back to your empathy thing. I actually care about people. I care about the bigger picture. I care about things. It's not just about getting things done and making some money over here.
Yeah, that's a good layer. Yeah, because I talked very much about results and yours is more about the dynamic and process and considering people beyond what they can do to create a result, which is certainly, yeah, part of that definition.
Yeah. Conscious values.
Yeah. I mean, I think all values are conscious. Like, I don't know. It's kind of redundant to me. Yeah. It's kind of redundant. Yeah. Well, I guess taking a step back then, when I think of consciousness, right? The idea of consciousness, just from like a more macro landscape, is just the idea of being really thoughtful and considerate and aware of what things are. So instead of just putting values on a wall and saying, hey, we're going to live by these things, it's more of the design intent around it, right? And I don't think anyone's putting core values for a company just completely arbitrarily, but is there an opportunity for us to revisit them, make sure we're living them, have accountability around them, you know? But yeah, that one's a tough one for me because I feel like maybe I'm just an optimist that values are inherently conscious. But again, maybe we need to take the argument of like, when are values unconscious, and like kind of almost dissect that to understand what conscious values would be.
Yeah. I would say part of it is like defining conscious values that you actually would be good values, right? Mm-hmm. We can have a value is a value, like culture is a culture, right? But it might not be on the positive side. It could be on the negative side. So part of it for me is like, how do you identify things that are positive? But I think that one of the keys, is it a plaque on the wall or is this something we actually live to? You know, how do you keep these things alive in your world in a way that we're actually making decisions and are we honoring those things? That's the challenge. I think that's the leadership challenge. Like, and when we're trying to solve a problem, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Let's think about this. Let's run it through our values. Are we being who we want to be? It's like taking that extra step.
Yeah, I've got a great story around this. That's when Johnson & Johnson had the Tylenol scare, the way they decided to fix it was they went into the lobby, they looked at these pillars that they had, and they read it, and it was their values, and like, we're going to answer this and repair it this way. And they were able to repair their reputation in a couple years, where those who don't follow their values can completely tarnish the reputation, build distrust, everything else. So if you're aligning and living by your values, you're going to stay a lot more aligned And it goes back to accountability. You're holding yourself accountable with those values. And honestly, we use it at home. I have a values chart on our wall that says great. Are you being grateful, respectful, empathetic, accountable, and thoughtful? Mm. It's great. And it's easy to go to the family members and say, are you being great right now? So it's not pointing out you're bad or this and that, just holds them accountable. And they're like, ooh, no, what can you do different? So it's a really simple way to live it, but it's a practice. But to that point, goes back to the consciousness. Are you aware of the values that you care about? And are you putting them into practice?
Yeah, exactly. The last one, the stakeholder model versus the shareholder model. I'll have to say Del Lewis was the chair of the Conscious Capitalism Organization when I first came on board. And we came to a meeting once. He said, all right, which one's the most important tenet? Right? We did a little round the table thing. And I'm a purpose guy. Like, it's purpose, purpose. Everybody went around. And finally, it was Del's turn. And Del said, nope, it's the stakeholders model. And there's something to be said about that. And you kind of touched on that earlier. So let's explore that a little bit. What does the stakeholder model mean and why is that important?
I think for me, that's been my whole career. My whole career has been strategic communications and initially in public relations. But the real model is not about, a lot of people think that's, you know, changing the public's opinion, but it really is stakeholder relationship. And how are you building relationships and connection with each of your audience? Like Brian, you were saying, whether it's your customers, your employees, your investors, anybody that touches the business, and how are you communicating, connecting, and relating to each other for the greater good? So to me, it's foundational. And when I go back to that rooted model, those are the branches. The root, you know, if I'm using my hand, the palm is those, the vision, purpose, and values. The trunk is more of that story and the relationship, and the branches are the stakeholders. And then you get into the leaves of the tactics of how you work together. So, but it's critical to me.
All right, all right.
There's a similar explanation here with the conversation we just had with values, right? Where we want to make sure that we are actively considering all stakeholders, right? And that's where a traditional business is only worried about investor return and knowing that, well, our business is different because we're making decisions using our values with all of those little fingers of directionality that are the different stakeholders. I love that metaphor. That then makes it more actionable, makes it more real, and it makes it multidimensional, which is ultimately all of those different stakeholders are meant to feed off of each other, right? Better relationship with partners then means customers get a better experience. There's less delays. And when you treat your employees better, then customer service is better and customers get a better result. And then investors make more money. And then, you know, it's like they're all so woven together that we really shouldn't consider them to be different. It's just good business is to make sure that all of these relationships are maintained. But if we need to separate them out, then yeah, I think it's an eloquent way of doing that so that we know at least which vertical of relationship we're focused on.
Yeah. And that goes back to the tree. Like I said, the tree all stems from one spot, the roots. So the branches just go out, but you're still coming from that center, you know, so it stays all aligned.
Yeah. And then all the branches, they will talk about leaves, right? Leaves, yeah. Photosynthesis, create the energy. It comes back into the mothership, right? The trunk and the roots. So yeah, all of these different ingredients and components are all serving the same thing, but then that energy is then used and spread among the different branches again. So it's a circular economy of sorts.
Absolutely.
One of the exercises I love to do with management teams is to actually identify your stakeholders, because sometimes we don't think about it. We usually have that handful. Oh, it's my customers, my employees. Maybe we got four or five in our mind. But if you stop for a moment, start thinking about everybody, it's like that list gets pretty long pretty quick. And then actually having a strategy for each stakeholder, because different people need different things. And some are going to be more strategic than others. I always like to use my UPS example. I go, the UPS man is a stakeholder in your business. You may not think too much about him, but the time you're trying to get something out the door and he shows up, you're not quite ready. If he's willing to wait or come back, all of a sudden he's like the most important guy in the world, right? So, you know, how did you treat him the rest of the time? Just not that day, but every day he comes in to drop something off. So recognizing everybody's got... I love what a friend of mine says, you will be as successful as your stakeholders make you. Mm. So we better understand who all those stakeholders are. I think that's key.
Yeah. And then even defining stakeholder, right? So who is a stakeholder? Yep. A stakeholder is anyone who is impacted by your business operation and anyone who impacts yep. your business operation. So who is excluded from that, right? Like it really is a holistic view.
I was doing a strategic planning session with a nonprofit that's a community development organization. So the whole idea is the community. You start going, all right, who's your community? It's the police. It's everybody, right? It's like, it's pretty amazing. So let's take a little shift here. What are you guys excited about? You know, what do you see here happening in San Diego versus San Diego focused podcast? What are you excited about relative to San Diego in the business community and maybe even how our whole movement's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, in the events that we host, the word that always comes together is collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. There is a willingness for people to meet, to explore ideas, to support each other, share resources. I think a lot of that collaboration, the foundation's been laid. And if we're continuing a plant metaphor, I think the seeds have been planted for a while and we're actually starting to see some of the fruits, you know? So with that, I think there's going to be quite a profound impact and result that's being generated from the collaborations that have been in the pipeline for a little bit. And hopefully we get to steward some of that in the ways that we create spaces and bring some people together. But I do think that, you know, one of the kind of internal slogans we have at Conscious Capitalism San Diego is we want San Diego to be the hub for conscious business across the world, right? And what that requires is this multi-stakeholder. Everyone is involved. We all win when we all win, you know? So if San Diego can model that as best as possible, I think we're on the path to be able to create that.
Yeah. This is the year of collaboration in my head. Mm-hmm. What do you got, Michelle?
Yeah, I would echo that, Brian. Just seeing the community to come together. I mean, I think everybody's has a passion for this. And it's really been, how do we all work together? How do the stakeholders all win together, right? There's a movement happening. And I'm excited that whether we're working with interns through Conscious Capital San Diego and UCSD or any other university, that we're nurturing them. We're nurturing the early younger generations to help take those steps forward. And all, you know, from college kids all the way to people who are retiring, we're all coming together for a greater purpose. And it's exciting to see the ball continue to roll. And I think the timing has, you know, been right for the last few years of wanting to make these shifts. And I think a lot of it just comes down to not only walking the talk, but also educating. And I think that's a step that we have to continue doing is how do we help educate other businesses to understand and give them those steps and give them the, you know, the process for creating not only a movement, but working all together.
One of the things that comes up often in our conversations is a lot of people already operate with the kind of lexicon of what we talk about, but they haven't identified as a conscious capitalist. You know, we call them unconscious conscious capitalists, right? And I think San Diego has attracted a lot of those types of people already. And that's why the collaborations can be so impactful, is because here we are with all of these people that are willing to share, that are thinking abundantly, but they were doing it more isolated circles. Now we're bringing those circles together and it's becoming kind of like a fuller body of business leaders and then everything that comes from that. You know, communication, one of the great inventions of humanity, has facilitated innovation through collaboration, right? It's, you know, what's that expression? The full amount is greater than some of its parts, however it goes, right? And I feel like in San Diego, we're really getting some of those factors together to start adding together.
I want to agree with you on that. It's like sitting here in this podcast room, you know, I get to interview lots of different business owners. The reason they come in here because they're purposeful, maybe they wear a BBB torture winner or something, whatever, but they don't have this language, right? They're not sitting here talking about tenants, but they're really leading this way. They're doing good work out there. So there's so many companies out there doing great work that just because it's the right thing to do. That's the other part of this whole idea. It's the right thing to do. The second thing is, yes, back to this whole collaboration idea. Once again, last night I was at an event brand new to me, the 1% for Planet, mm-hmm. right? I've heard of it, but I never attended an event, but I was there. A bunch of like-minded people again. There's just so many different groups as well that are doing some great work. Our ability to bring that together, I think would be amazing. That's what we got to continue to work on. So that'd be a really powerful thing for us to do.
Well, and I think what's important, you're saying, Jeff, it's for the greater good, but in psychology, people, what works is fighting against something bad. Right. So there's a lot going on in the world, the good, the bad, you know, think of Star Wars. Star Wars was Luke going after, you know, the Force and going after, you know, the dark side. And if you study psychology in tribal movements, that is a key thing, is all bounding together against something that's not good. And I think for this movement to continue growing, we have to come against something else. Right. So right now with businesses, it's not just doing something good, but we're fighting against the challenges in business and how to be resilient through the challenges, right? So it's that fight of be resilient as one example. So it's like, oh, it's nice to do something good, but how do we come together to beat the dark side? You know, and that's when people tend to rally and come together, when you can work together against something
right.
good.
So kind of back to the higher purpose, the idea again, right? There's something out there we have to go after. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this has been a lot of fun hanging out with the two of you. I always like to wrap up with the big ideas. Like, so what's the one thing you want people to remember from this conversation?
from this conversation.
Or in life, Brian, whatever.
Yeah. Well, no, I think to summarize, right, it's the point we just made, which is especially people listening to this that are in this ecosystem, they care about everything that we just talked about, right? They care about being a conscious leader. They care about a higher purpose. They care about all their stakeholders, right? They care about culture. They care about their employees. They care about everything. And if this can help them be introduced to how all these different pieces actually come together in one cohesive framework, and there is a movement called conscious capitalism, other people who are talking, walking, and thinking like they are, then, you know, consider this your invitation to learn more.
Love that. It's got Michelle.
All right. Well, for me, I think end of the day, it goes back to my roots of finding the best in everybody. And a lot of times we all have different opinions and different vision of where we want to go. And our egos get in the way, like, I want to do this. Now I want to do that. And maybe there's some misalignment. But if we can get rid of the ego for a moment and look at the big picture of like, what really does matter? And where do we want to go together? And how can we work through those differences or perceptions and really come from our hearts? I think that's the start, because I do see throughout all kinds of communities and around the country and around the world of, I think the intention's there, but there's something blocking it sometimes to create that movement. And sometimes it takes that leader to bring everybody together at the kumbaya. Mm-hmm. So keeping that in mind of, you may not like what somebody thinks, but how can you see things differently to actually learn from that and create a bigger and better movement and more impact?
Let's go have a movement.
Yes.
We're on our way.
We're on our way. It started right here. Conscious Curiosity SD.
Exactly.
Well, I appreciate the two of you coming in. I appreciate being friends with you guys and hanging out and trying to make something happen here in our community. And keep up the great work. You'll have links at the bottom of the podcast so people connect with you and get your services, because that's what we do. We provide services. We come alongside you guys to go make things happen. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
So that's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, or most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego, who are all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we're all counting on you.